notice me?
Who needs God? I can take care of myself.
Is life even worth
will
living?
Will I ever be
am I going to lose my job?
I'll never amount to anything.
Will my parents anything ever be proud of me?
My life is my pointless.
Is life even worth
living? Why is anybody ever
don't notice tell me what to do.
Nobody appreciates me.
I will never be good enough.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It is good to see you. You sound really good down here. For those of you joining online, thank you so much for joining us as well. Yesterday we celebrated, or remembered actually, 20 years ago, 9/11 and the impact that happened to our country. And, you know, one of the slogans is never forget. But I also want you to remember, too, that when we say never forget, it's not just the tragedy of that day. It's never forget the men and women of our military and first responders who ran into danger when everyone else was running away from that. And I just want you, if you're in this room and you're a part of a veteran or active military or a first responder, I want you to allow us to show our appreciation to you right now, how much we love and appreciate you. Can you do that right now? Show them how much you appreciate them. Amen. Today we get to continue a series we began just a couple of weeks ago called Mind Control. We've been looking at our thought life, and today we're going to transition from our thought life as to the thoughts that we think into how they develop into words and how that your words actually matter. The things that you say actually matter. And one of the most dangerous things is when you allow wrong thoughts to turn into wrong words. There are some things that happen in your life. Proverbs 18 and 21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say that with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you love death, you'll eat of it. If you love life, you will eat of it. And they are in the power of the tongue. The words that I say actually matter. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we began this by talking about that every thought that we have, your thoughts literally will control the trajectory of your life. If you allow thoughts to stay in your life, you will assume that they are true, even if they are not true, and you'll make decisions based upon that. So your thoughts actually direct your life. They control your life, but you can actually control your thoughts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about how do we actually take every thought captive and make it subject under the authority of Christ Jesus. The third thing is this, is that we are in a battle. It's an unseen battle where the enemy of our souls, the devil, wants to control our thought life, because if he controls our thought life, he controls us. And if our thoughts turn into words, he can make something or cause us to make something come into reality that is not supposed to be there for our life. There is a spiritual battle taking place for your life and your thought life and in your words. Today, I want to talk to you about how to take control of your words. Can I just tell you right up front before we even pray? Because you're going to pray a little heavier this morning, okay? I'm going to be in your business today, okay? I'm going to graze over your business. Some of you, I'm going to be all up in your business today. But I'm not intending or thinking about you when I preach this. I am just telling you what the Word says about our words and the things that we say. So would you just prepare your hearts to receive God's word today? Lord, I thank you today for the ability and the privilege to be able to share from your word. I thank you most of all that your word still speaks to us. It was written long ago in antiquity, but it still is relevant to our lives today. Lord, speak as you have never spoken before. I pray that you speak clearly to our hearts, that you would anoint the words you've given me to say as they go forth, and anoint our hearts to receive them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's a powerful thought when we think about death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the words that I say. My thoughts create my words, but I actually have a choice whether or not I speak those words at every moment in time. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to just go ahead and drop the facade that says the devil made me do it or the devil made me say it. You have the authority over your words to take every word you say, and you have the authority to speak either life or death, blessings or curse into someone's life. Your words matter. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. He says, I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. And the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Now, why are we talking about words when we're in the series on mind control? Because your thought life leads you to speak certain things in your life and over the lives of other people. And there is this spirit of negativity that is in the world today. Everything seems to be negative. Everything seems to want to bring us down to a level below the level that God has called us to live. As a matter of fact, a great hospital in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Clinic, estimates 80% of our thoughts in a day are negative. 80%. Now, I don't know if you know this, but you think tens of thousands of thoughts every single day. At the estimates of that, with 80%, that would be 48,000 negative thoughts per day for the average person. Now, that's not just making us cranky. That's compromising our health. Do you know the last 2 years, for the first time in recorded history, the average lifespan of people in the United States has actually dropped, has gone down. Every year it has been going up. It's gone down. All of this negativity is beginning to affect our health. Last week I told you that 85% of the visits to primary care physicians were as a result of stress induced, not genetics or anything else. Do you realize that? That the biggest threat to your well-being is not climate change and it's not gun violence and it's not pandemics. It is the way that you are thinking in your life and the things that you are speaking over your life. And the problem with negativity is it's gradual. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens a little bit at a time. And what you don't notice is it begins to build up in your life and become a way of life. That doesn't mean you won't ever have negative thoughts, but you don't allow them to take residence in your heart. And you certainly don't allow them to take control of your words. Here's some of the ways that negativity affects you, and some of the ways maybe you see it in your life or the life of someone else that you are close to, that maybe it concerns you in the words that they speak and they say and they do. One is this: filtering. That's the ability where you can pick out the negative in every situation. You ever met that person? You know, there's a cloud with every silver lining. You know, there's a problem with every good thing. When you hear good news, they go, yeah, but, you know. You can find that. It's filtering. You find the negative in every situation. Maybe it's from what was called splitting. That's where you see things in extremes. It's either the best day ever or the worst day ever. There's no in between, right? This is either the greatest thing that's ever happened or the worst thing that's ever happened. Maybe you see it in mind reading. This is where you begin to assume other people's motives, most of the time incorrectly. We can't even spot our own motives half the time, and we want to read other people's motives. Maybe you see it in fortune telling, where you regularly predict unfavorable outcomes. You know, when people talk about good things that are happening, and you go, well, wait till tomorrow, you know? Or maybe you see it in personalized, where you blame yourself for every wrong result or poor outcome in your life, regardless of what it is. Do you know that not everything that bad happens to you is a result of your decisions? Sometimes things happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where other people can hurt you and harm you, and you try to personalize those things. When you personalize those things, what you basically say is that I'm in control of all of the things in my life. And sometimes you can feel like you are out of control in things in your life. You do have control over some things, and you have to control the things that you can control, but stop trying to control everything else. The other is perfecting. This is where I continually strive for the perfect day, the perfect home, the perfect reputation, the perfect everything, and it never actually comes to being. Do you know the Bible says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? But do you know that perfect doesn't mean, it's not saying that you never make a mistake. It means whole, complete. Be whole, be complete as your Father in heaven is. That means when you do make a mistake, you stand in the wholeness and the completeness of what God has done for you. But some people wear themselves out trying to be perfect or trying to look perfect. The final one is contrasting. It's where I constantly measure my life against the life of someone else, their performance, their possessions, their social media posts, and I'm constantly measuring myself against these things. I wonder how many of you may be experiencing some of these things. How many of you despise the job you once prayed for? How many of you complain about the spouse you once dreamed of? How many of you have been marked by season after season of God's faithfulness, and now you're just consistently consumed with worry about what's next in your life? If you're not careful, those thoughts and that negativity begin to translate into the words that you speak. And the words that you speak formulate a language that you communicate to other people. Do you know that there are 6,500 languages or dialects in the world today? The most common is Mandarin. 1 billion people speak it. English is a distant second. 508 million people speak English. But there is a language that is unrecognized by the world, but the believer ought to be aware of, and that is the language of the liar and the enemy of your soul, the devil. Jesus says this about him in John 8:44. He says, "There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And he'll speak things over your life and try to get you to speak things over your life like, "You'll never be a great leader. You'll never make a difference in your life. Your marriage or your job will never get better. That it's too late in your life to become a husband or a wife or a better mom or a dad or a parent or a student or a mentor in someone's life. It's just too late." And the longer you listen to the language of the liar, the more you will begin to believe these things. And the longer you allow the enemy to speak into your life and you begin to believe those things, the more it becomes part of your vocabulary and that language. But can I tell you something? You weren't called to have the language of the liar. You were called to have the language of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has spoken over your life. He has already proclaimed things over your life. And it's about time you begin to live like God has speaking those things over your life. And if you're here this morning, I want to tell you something. We're going to look at several things that can cause us to have negative thoughts. And if we're not careful, they'll cause negative words. But God's word speaks in those moments and begins to tell us how to speak life into those very places. But I want you to hear me. I'm going to share with you God's word this morning. But you've got to believe not only that it's God's word, but it's God's word for you as well. There are way too many people that sit in seats in churches today that believe that God's word is true. They just don't believe it's for them. They believe they've done too much in the past. They believe they're unworthy right now. Can I tell you, God's word is alive and it is vibrant and it is for you today. Are you ready to receive his word this morning? Amen. Let's get started in this. Two things I want you to see. I want to show you how to turn deadly thoughts instead of into these life-taking words. And I want you to turn deadly thoughts into life-giving words. The first thoughts that happen to us is this, is negative self-thinking. Negative self-thinking, which will eventually translate into belittling self-talk. These are the things that we say to ourselves. I am amazed at sometimes at the things that the people of God will say to themselves. They wouldn't say it to anybody else, but they'll say it over themselves. They'll look in the mirror and speak not life, but death over their own situation. Listen, can I tell you, you've got to understand who you are in Jesus Christ and what God has said about you if you're going to have a proper understanding in view of who you are. Now, you'll be tempted to say things. The enemy will try to persuade you. He'll try to tempt you. But I'm telling you, before you speak words of death, I want you to remember the words of life God has already spoken over to you. Let me give you a couple of examples of those. Whenever you feel the temptation to say something like, "I hate the way I look," Psalm 139 and 14 reminds us, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Would you stop looking in the mirror and complaining about where you are and thank God that he has made you for his purpose and his calling and his destiny for your life, and you are perfectly knitted together the way he wants you to be? Would you accept who you are because that's the way that God has made you and called you to be? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Whenever you're tempted to say, "I'm not good at anything," Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us, "I am God's masterpiece, created to do good things that God planned for me long ago." You may not think you're good for anything, but I tell you, God, before he ever created you, already planned and destined for your life all the good things that he wants you to discover and you to accomplish in this life for his glory. Whenever you're tempted to say, "Today's going to be a bad day," Psalm 118, 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Not everything that's going to happen in this day is going to be good to you, but you can rejoice in it knowing that God is with you. When you say, I'll never be good with money, Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us, for it is God who gives you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. Can I just tell you, the well may seem dry right now, but God has a way of rushing in and pouring out the windows of heaven and opening them up and pouring out a blessing that you cannot contain in his time and in his place. Can I tell you when you, this one, can I just, here's my pet peeve, okay? When I hear Christians say to themselves, I am so stupid. This one bothers me. You know, stupid doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It's about foolishness in this. Do you know that John 16:3, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide me in all truth? It doesn't matter how high your IQ is. It doesn't matter what your SAT score was. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have behind your name. It doesn't matter about any of that. When the Holy Spirit is guiding you, he will take you and you will make wise decisions and you will go in the path of truth and God will guide you and protect you every step of the way. God is able and has already through Christ Jesus made up for all the deficiencies that you think you have and made you more than enough. Negative self-thinking, if you're not careful, can turn into belittling self-talk. But if you will speak the word of God over your life, you can take that negative thought and speak life into your circumstance. The second area is this. Can I go ahead and tell you? I'm gonna be in your business on this one, okay? You ready? Chronic complaining. Chronic complaining. And the problem with chronic complaining is this. It will eventually lead to faithless words where you begin to speak not life but death into your circumstances. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes, do everything without complaining and arguing. And you say, well, that's nice. That's nice. You can put that up. That's a nice scripture to put up. But really, Paul doesn't know my circumstance. Paul is writing, chained up in a Roman jail cell when he writes the book of Philippians. And the entire, if you ask what the theme of Philippians is about, Paul writes about joy in every circumstance. Joy. This man has been put in prison because he is preaching the good news about Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing and teaching about joy. And this is what he says. As he's chained, I want you to do everything without complaining and arguing. Do you know why? Because complaining is contrary to the character of God. Have you ever been around someone who's just constantly complaining? Are you sitting next to them now? I don't know. Don't say that. Can I ask you this question? When you're around them, did you feel happy? Did you feel uplifted? No. Did you feel a little drained and depressed after you spent time with them? Yes. Did the atmosphere in the room just really go up when they walked out? Yes. It's because complaining takes life. It doesn't give life. Are you ready for a truth you don't want to hear? But you need. The area you complain about the most is the area you trust God the least. The area that I complain about the most is the area that I trust God the least. Listen, you can't say you trust God for provision and continue to complain about the economy. Is God faithful or is he faithful? You can't continually complain about your job and then your career and complain about your job all the time. Listen, and say you trust God with your outcome and your career. You can't do that. Complaining is the language of hopelessness. It's like praying in reverse. Every time you complain, you miss an opportunity to take up your spiritual authority as a believer and speak life into your situation, that you can literally speak those things that are not at this moment and call them forth as though they were. You lay down your authority as a believer and you take up the lies of the enemy. Listen, you're not always going to have good things happen to you. Your bank account's not always going to be filled. You're going to have difficult days at your job. Your relationships are going to be strained sometimes. You're going to have challenges physically in your life. You're going to have disease that inflicts in your life at some times. But can I just tell you something? Those things are not the reason why you praise God. You praise God because He is above all of those things. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says this: "Now to Him, being God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Can I just tell you something? When things aren't working out at your job, God is still worthy to be praised. When things aren't working out in your relationship, He is still worthy to be praised. When they're not working out physically, He is still worthy to be praised. When they're not working out financially, He is still worthy to be praised, because God at any moment in time can reach in and change your situation, and God has given you all the power in Christ Jesus to endure everything you will ever face. And He's able to do immeasurably more than you can even imagine. Chronic complaining eventually will lead to faithless words, but speaking life in God's word and trusting Him changes things. I'm going to go to the third one now, but I want you to know something. If you thought the second one was bad, I need you to buckle up on the third one, okay? Are you ready? Look at your neighbor and say, "I don't think you're ready." The third one is this: gossiping. No amens, but a lot of oh me's. Why is gossiping so bad? Because gossiping will eventually lead to destructive words, speaking death over someone else. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people." Gossip is the language of the insecure. Because the reason someone gossips is to make someone else appear small so that they can appear more powerful. It's the whole reason. Can I just tell you something? Gossip is a form of betrayal. Someone has trusted you with something. It's a form of betrayal. Gossip is also meant to be hidden from the person who's being talked about. The gossiper will usually pretend that nothing is wrong around the person they've just talked about as well. The gossiper will try to justify their actions and make you believe that their behavior is not really wrong. And they will even lie and deny it when confronted with it. Can I just tell you something? You cannot gossip or willingly receive gossip and not be affected spiritually. Proverbs 26 and 22 says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." One of my favorite memes, I have a couple of favorite memes when it comes to gossiping, but one of them is, how many of you know who Bernie Mac is? He's a comedian. It's got this strange, Bernie is making this strange face. This is not his saying. Someone just created the meme with his face. But he's got this strange face, and the saying on it says, "Wait a minute, you just gossiped to me about four different people and you asked me how I'm doing?" Said, "I am fine. I am blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah be to the Lamb. How are you?" You know why? Because if they will gossip about them to you, they will gossip about you to them. And can I just speak real to the Christians in the room? Couching it in spirituality doesn't make it any better. Gossiping and calling it a prayer request is not a prayer request. Come on. It's not. And it doesn't matter how many spiritual gifts you think you have. If you are using gossip as a weapon, you are not being used by God. Just hear me. You know how I know that? The Bible talks about spiritual gifts and names them. It enumerates them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It explains their usage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, how they're to be used in the church. And I want you to hear me. Every spiritual gift that was given to us in the Bible is still active, and it's used in the church today. They did not die, they did not cease. But do you know what is right in between chapter 12 and chapter 14? Is what is called the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We see this recited a lot of times at weddings. And it's beautiful, and it applies there. But the whole reason it was written was in the context of spiritual gifts. And what it says this, if I speak in tongues and the language of angels, but I have not love, if I prophesy or speak with wisdom and I have not love, I am but a clanging gong or a cymbal that makes a lot of noise, but makes no music. You can't operate in the gifts of the Spirit and operate in gossip at the same time. You know how I know that? James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 tells us this. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. He said, my brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. The word cursing is not cursing in the form of curse words. It's not even talking about cursing as in witchcraft, putting a curse on someone. It literally means to speak evil about someone or with evil intent about someone. He goes on to say, this should not be. He said, it is not possible. He said, can fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? No, it cannot. It's going to spring forth from the place of origin. So if my words are filled with gossip, my words are not coming from the Lord, and I'm not speaking the language of the King. I know that's hard to hear. I know it's even harder to receive. But I want you to understand something. If you are prone to gossip, stop it in the name of Jesus. If you are prone to wanting to hear the latest gossip, stop it in the name of Jesus. If someone does something to you, instead of telling someone else about them, why don't you do what Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 18 and go to them with a spirit of love and reconciliation, make it known to them, and try to reconcile that relationship. That's what God calls us to do. In a world full of negativity and words that want to bring people down, the people of God ought to be the ones that have words of life and reconciliation. Amen? How many of you are ready for me to move on from gossiping? All right, so we shall. Let me give you a fourth area. Fear. These negative thoughts of fear. Because eventually they will lead to excuses in your life. You will make excuses as to why you can't do what God has called you to do. A few weeks ago when we began this series, we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, when he says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, when God leads you to start something new or to reconcile a relationship that's broken or to trust someone again or to invest your life into something meaningful, we will often respond with words of fear, but call them words of caution or wisdom. We'll say things, well, what if it doesn't work out, or what if they don't respond, or what if it's not the right time, or if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Listen, when God is calling you to step in faith and do something, he will give you an inner peace that pervades your life even when your natural emotions want to freak out. Listen, when God's calling you to do something different, naturally you're anxious. Naturally, you think about all the things that are there. And here's the problem. Most of the time, we ask God to give us peace from our external circumstances when God wants to give us peace, inner peace, to remind us that no matter what situation and what moment that we face, that God is able to see us through each and every moment. It's the inner peace that he wants to give us. And the inner peace that we have comes from knowing who we are in him and what the promises that he's made to us. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that Paul is writing, and he tells us that you're going to face all of these things in your life. You may be persecuted in your life. You may be abandoned in your life. These things may be coming at you over and over and over again. But he says in verse 31, he says, so what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 37, he says, and in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul writing once again in a jail cell to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:13, one that so many of us know and quote, says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It wasn't Paul telling us that we treat God like he's some genie in the bottle. You rub the lamp the right way and he'll come out and give you a wish. No, the previous verses say, Paul said, I know what it's like to be hungry and I know what it's like to be well fed. I know what it's like to be free and I know what it's like to be in prison. I know what it's like to be abused and I know what it's like to be treated right. He says, and yet in all these things, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can endure all things. I can overcome all things. I can be more than a conqueror in all these things in Jesus Christ. Listen, you will be faced with fear in your life anytime that God is challenging you to do something in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If God is challenging you to do something new, step out in faith and do it. If he's challenging you to reconcile a relationship, step out, write the letter, make the phone call, do it today. Don't be afraid of those things. If God is calling you to invest in another ministry, in a new ministry, or to give your time to something such as world missions or to serving in different areas, then step out and you think, I don't know if I've got what it takes. Step out and watch God do the rest. If not, you'll spend your life making excuses and not discover, like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, all of the things that he has designed for you to do that were good works before you were ever created. The final one is this: unspoken affirmation. Unspoken affirmation, meaning speaking good and speaking life into someone else's life. Because eventually what that leads to is you're literally withholding life for someone. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Galatians 6 and 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Don't assume that your spouse or your children or your parents know how much you love and appreciate them. Tell them. Don't assume your friends know how much they mean to you. Tell them. Don't assume that that mentor of yours knows how much you appreciate the time and investment they put into your life. Tell them. Why? Because Proverbs 12 and 25 says, anxiety in a person's heart will weigh them down, but a good word makes it glad. Do you know you literally have the power to speak life over someone with your words if you choose them? You can turn negative thoughts into life-giving words. The second part of the message is very quick, but I want to show you three very quick steps on how you take control of our words. The first one's this: get in God's word. Get in God's word. Psalm 141 and 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. The word of God has the power to change your life. Why would you not consume it regularly? When I don't read the Bible, I literally don't allow the word, the God-breathed, inspired word of God into my life. You know, in the beginning in Genesis, when God created man, the Bible says he created everything about him, but he was still lifeless. And so he breathed life into him. Do you know the same word that was used when he breathed life into them is the same word in Greek that there's Hebrew and there's Greek, but as they use the same word over in Greek, the Bible tells us that God's word, all scripture, is God-breathed. Literally, the scriptures are the breath of God wanting to breathe life into you. Why would you not Why would you not take God's life-giving breath into your life every single day? Get in God's word. The second thing is this. Get away from negative people. Get away from negative people. Listen, you got to love everybody. You don't have to hang out with everybody. Stop giving negative people the power of influence in your life. Listen, they may try to speak negative words in your life. You don't have to receive those in Jesus' name. You don't have to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Why would you give them a voice in your life? Get away from negative people. And listen, you say, well, I've got some negative people in my life that I can't like physically get away from. Stop giving them influence in your life. You do not have to give them say. The third thing is this. Get around God's people. Get around God's people. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, just from the signs of the time and just from just basic understanding of time, we are closer now to the return of Christ than we've ever been. And he says, and do it all, even more, as you see the day approaching. One of the reasons why I encourage you all the time, be in a group of people, be in a life group, be at church. The reason for that is God's people breathe the same air. We don't get our life source from the world. We get our life from the presence of the Holy Spirit in these worship services together and the breathing of the Word of God through reading His Word and studying His Word together. Get around God's people. Take control of your words. Do you know what God's people will do too? They'll hold you accountable. You need somebody to hold you accountable. You need someone when you start speaking negative to go, uh-uh. Don't do that. And I'm not talking about gossiping. Most of the time you speak negativity over yourself. You need someone when you say something about yourself that's negative to say, uh-uh, that's not what God says about you. Someone to speak life into you. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and receive some words of affirmation. Not from me. These are literally words God has spoken over you. And some of you, for the first time in a long time, need to receive these and internalize these and realize who you are in Jesus Christ. But first, will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Hey, if you're in this room or watching online and all of these promises sound so good to you, but you know you aren't a follower of Christ, today you can make that decision to follow Him. You just simply have to pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I thank You that what You did on the cross was enough for me. Thank You for the sacrifice that You have made for me. And thank You for the hope that You give me. I ask You to forgive me of the way I've lived in the past, my sins. And I ask You to lead me from this day forward through Your Word and through Your Spirit. And Lord, I will never be the same because I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for You. Take control of my life and be glorified in my life from this day forward. Now, if everyone in the room would just pray this prayer of profession with me, just say, Jesus, I give You my life. One more time. Jesus, I give You my life. Now, with your head still bowed, eyes still closed, if you're in this room right now, and you know when you came in here, things weren't right between you and the Lord, but you're making a decision to follow Him today, I'm not going to call you out, not embarrassing you. I want to pray for you this week. If that's you, be bold enough to just raise your hand really high and say, that's me. I want you to pray for me this week. God bless you. Really high. Just a moment more, please. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. All right, you can put them down. Now, Lord, we thank You for lives that have been changed in both of our services. Thank You that eternity has been, that literally has been transformed. And now there's a place with You forever and ever. Thank You for hope and meaning in this life right now. And thank you for the joy that is going to take place in their hearts as the sin and weight of the sin in their past is lifted off of them and the presence of the Holy Spirit fills their life. I'm thankful for that, Lord. And for these next few moments, God, I pray that you would speak to us with your word and help us to receive that in faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. And as you stand, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to begin to speak the promises of God over you. And I want you to just turn your hands up as if you were going to receive something. And as I say each one of these, what I want you to say is, I want you to say, I receive as I finish. It's not about you all receiving, it's about you personally receiving these. Are you ready to do that? God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Can you say, I receive? In all things, I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's favor surrounds me like a shield, and I have favor with God and with mankind. God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. God redeems my life from destruction, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, and crowns me with glory and honor. Jesus redeemed me from every curse by becoming a curse for me, and I am free from every generational curse, every spoken curse, or every self-inflicted curse. All curses are broken in my life in Jesus' name. God loves me so much, he sent Jesus to die for me while I was still a sinner. How great is the love of God the Father has lavished on me that I should be called a child of God. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus, his son. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. God chose me in him before the foundation of the world. And God has plans to prosper me and to give me a hope and a future. If you believe that, why don't you give him praise now in Jesus' name? Amen. 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 Blessed be his holy name. I'm going to bless you. And then Pastor Jason's going to come and dismiss you, but we're going to do the blessing a little bit different this morning. Normally, I just speak it over you. Today, I want you to say it out loud as if you're receiving it. I'm going to say the phrase, and I want you to just repeat the phrase with me. Would you do that right now? The Lord blesses and keeps me.
The Lord blesses and keeps me.
The Lord makes his face shine upon me.
The Lord makes his face shine upon me.
The Lord is gracious to me. The Lord looks upon me with favor.
The Lord looks upon me with favor.
And the Lord gives me peace.
And the Lord gives me peace.
Now give him praise in this place for that promise now.